Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Charlie, anything from that game that we're leaving out that was memorable for you since you played it and starred in it?
Well, I think the one that really would have been interesting to see if Emmanuel Sanders would have scored on the pass over the middle, where he was trying to switch it from his right hand to his left hand and ended up fumbling. And the Ravens recovered. It would have been really interesting to see if that one would have went for a 70-yard touchdown.
Is that your favorite moment from your NFL career, that game?
Yeah, I think it was. It was obviously one of them, but of course starting that one and realizing that could potentially be the last game that I ever have in my National Football League career. And just to be able to do that on the road against a division foe, that was something that was special and it always hold near and dear to my heart. And I think for a lot of other people, they saw that, but a lot of people remember that embrace with Ben Roethlisberger at the end. And of course, the people who know me know I'm an emotional guy. I wear my emotions on my sleeves. And that was something that 20 million people saw me crying on national TV, and I'm okay with that.
Any keepsakes from that game that you still have?
No, to be honest with you, nothing. I didn't really keep anything from that game. I know my wife probably kept the ticket, if I'm not mistaken. But it's just, you know, those are things that she does in those memorable moments.
Are you a guy that's ever watched back a game like that? You just like to soak it all in? You say, I'll fire this one up. I've got the game on like my TV or on a DVD or Blu-ray somewhere. And you go back and watch any of those?
To be honest with you, I didn't. And I haven't watched that game since. You know, I see it every year only because of the highlights and people talk about it as we come up on this game. But I have not watched a single game, like a full game, from beginning to end since I've been done. And when you transition, you kind of remove yourself from who you used to be to where you're trying to go. And ultimately, that's kind of where I'm at, but never really look back.
Well, Charlie, this is probably not going to surprise you because you know me, but I have no life. So I've probably watched back in the last few years like 30 of your games. So I've got you beat. Okay.
I think the one that baffles me is the one that I think it was a 2010 season against the Buccaneers.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, you know, when I threw three touchdowns and people, I think ESPN just started the QBR. And I think from that game, they were like, oh, this is the perfect game. And they gave me a perfect rating. And every year, everybody like, that's a perfect rating? And they would kill the ESPN stats. And I'm like, well, if you just asked me, I could have told you that if you just take away the first pass and the last pass, the rest of the game is beautiful. Those were my interceptions, the first pass and the last pass. So those are things that, you know, I kind of remember.
Charlie, I'm the opposite of Pony. I have, like, no long-term memory for this stuff. But I do vividly remember you cooking the Buccaneers in that game.
Didn't Kiesel have a touchdown in that game?
That was a particularly – Kiesel had an 80-yard interception return to make it 38-6. I remember very vividly you cooking the Buccaneers in that one. That was pleasant to watch.
But that was a fun game. It was hot as I don't know what down there. The one memory for me is I remember the defense coming up with the turnover in the second quarter, and then immediately the next play I threw, I think it was a 41 or 43-yard pass to Mike Wallace, and it tips off the defender. We catch it, and we're all celebrating. We're come to the sideline, and Casey Hampton runs up to me, and he's like, God dang. And I'm like, dang, what happened? He said, man, it's hot as hell. Y'all scoring too fast.
That's great stuff. We're talking to Charlie Batch. Charlie, Batch of Toys going on right now, the Best of the Batch Foundation. I saw the logo that you guys put out for it, and I'm like, there's two people in this logo. The other one looks like a cartoon Aaron Donald. Is it Aaron Donald? And I don't know if you've heard this, but I was actually invited to Aaron Donald's draft party. So the two of us go way back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, they're doing a phenomenal job with this foundation, Aaron Donald Foundation, AD99. And we wanted to help them because they're doing things in the holiday season. We're doing the exact same thing. And we just wanted to collaborate this holiday season. And, man, Hikita, his sister, who is running his foundation, does a phenomenal job. And, you know, it's a great, great partnership that we have throughout this holiday season. So as we kind of embrace that, it helped increase our numbers to 250 families that we're adopting this year. And that will be well over 700 kids. And our goal is to collect over 8,000 toys. And we did it, had a phenomenal toy collection over the weekend with PTL and KDK up at Walmart in West Smithland. And man, we had over 1,000 toys delivered, and it was a great start to the holiday drive. And we're just trying to do our small part to continue to put smiles on kids' faces during the holiday time. And if you wasn't able to be there, you actually can still contribute. If you go to batchfoundation.org, you can see all the drop-off locations that we have throughout the city. If you're not able to make a drop-off location, you actually can go to click and ship opportunities on our website, and those will ship directly to our foundation.
Well, that took the next question right out of my mouth. I was going to ask how, if people couldn't get involved a couple days ago, how they could, Charlie, but that's awesome and a great thing you guys are doing.
What is the website again?
Batchfoundation.org, and then there's the Batch of Toys link, right?
Yeah, batchfoundation.org, and you'll see a scroll. You'll see the screen scroll, and you'll see Batch of Toys. You just click that, and you'll be able to see all of the options that we have. So I just thank everybody who has participated over the weekend. I thank all those who will be willing to donate, and I just want to thank everybody in advance for believing in what we're doing at the Best of the Batch Foundation. So thank you.
Charlie, I'll work backwards here from a football question. I'm sure you're expecting to ask, hey, what do you think of Kenny Pickett? But I'll go instead to, in that Ravens game, we were talking with you about Mike Wallace is one of your receivers in that game. There's guys maybe who wanted the ball, felt like, hey, I can help you. Come on, get me the ball, and I'm going to make a big play for you. How do you handle when a wide receiver is frustrated with a lack of a role, lack of touches in a given game? What was your best practice for that kind of situation? How did you see maybe Ben handle that in your Steelers career?
Yeah, you just try to keep everybody calm in that situation. And this is not uncommon. This is just a story because it was on national TV that everybody saw it. I wouldn't say national TV, but everybody saw the TV copy. And it's just one of those things that you see emotions of people going back and forth. And, man, there are a lot of receivers that have come up that I've played in. It didn't matter if it was Plexico Burress and Hines Ward and Santonio Holmes and Nate Washington. You've seen all of these things happen, but we were just able to handle it behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And there'll be many a times that throughout the course of a game, I would go up to Ben Roethlisberger, and I would tell him as he's focusing on the game, and I say, hey, you do realize, you know, player X did not get a ball right now. We're in the second quarter. And he's like, oh, my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Okay, I'll try to go out there and get him a pass to get him more involved in the game. So those things happen. It's just a matter of who is doing it and who catches it. But I'm glad Cam Hayward went over and had a conversation with him, because I would much rather have a receiver who wants the ball versus one who shies away from it.
And how about the defensive guy being the person that goes over and talks to the player? He's the elder statesman. He's the captain. He's the leader of the team. But I guess it probably works that way now. The dynamics have changed because Ben's gone and it's a rookie. Wouldn't you say, Charlie, maybe a little bit for Kenny Pickett, he doesn't want to go over there and have
that conversation. Yeah, that's exactly. You hit it right on the head there. You know, Cam, obviously being a veteran, he's able to go over there and address it and help Kenny out in that particular manner, where Kenny will eventually get to that point, but he's trying to kind of, you know, keep everybody happy right now, because, all you know, what we don't see, you see the game plan and what's going on, but what we don't see is the fact that what those whispers are in Kenny's ear from all the receivers or the eligibles that are saying, hey, you know, if we won this particular play, look for me. Even though the play might not be designed for that particular person, but those whispers are happening. And is that happening in the manner for Kenny? Absolutely it is. And he's just trying to do the best that he can to keep everybody on board, happy, and motivated to go. But, you know, that will continue to calm down. And once we see Kenny Pickett yell at somebody, you know the offense is completely his, because he's very comfortable where he is. Right now, he's not there yet.
Charlie, your time playing in your hometown was at a different point in your career than Pickens being a rookie. And I know Georgia, I think he's from Alabama, actually, but he went to school at Georgia. And we hypothesized that playing in front of what we figured were a lot of college teammates, maybe friends and family who went to Atlanta to see this game, might have been a reason why he was particularly angry and frustrated on the sideline. How much of a real thing is that, where guys, when they know they're playing in front of a home crowd or a hometown audience, are a little bit more keyed up in what they're trying to do?
That is the absolute real thing. And the night before Georgia's playing, I'm sure probably leading up to the game, he was texting some of his former teammates, and they're telling him, hey, we'll be either at the game or we'll be watching you. How many family members came in? So you knew he wanted to put on the best performance. It's no different than when Hines Ward went down there and we were there in 2006. He made it a point to say, I want to have a big game, which he did because he knew family members were
Charlie,
watching.
That's one of the underrated great games in Steelers history. You went into that game, too, because Ben got knocked out against yeah. Vic. That was an all-time shootout. People remember the tie against the Falcons? That was a classic game.
It was. I mean, it was a really fun game to be a part of because both teams were on fire. It was a high-scoring game. And I remember hitting Hines for a 70-yard touchdown. That's the one he ran out of his shoe with it. But you knew leading up into that game what he was looking to accomplish. I ended up throwing another touchdown pass later on in that game to him. So, of course, he was happy and caught a huge play to get us in field goal range. Unfortunately, Nate Washington, illegal procedure, and it was a 10-second runoff. We didn't get a chance to kick the field goal before regulation. We never saw the ball on offense in overtime because the rules were different.
Yep.
Atlanta went down, kicked the field goal. They won that game. But those are things that literally you get to the point where you are going home, you want to put on the best performance. And unfortunately for Pickens, it didn't happen.
Charlie, give us something in Kenny Pickett's game that you really like right now.
Right now, the game is slowing down for him. And as I'm watching him, and if you just go back and watch the fifth play of the game, he was ready to take a shot. And Deontay Johnson were getting ready to run open. The TV copy never showed that. And they just, oh, man, what happened on this particular play? But if Freiermuth holds his block on the edge, it would have really been interesting to see if they would have completed that pass. And that would have probably been the longest touchdown of this season if that would have been completed. So from that perspective, I like where he's at as the game continues to slow down. And what I see, he's going from – it used to just be the first read. And if his first read wasn't there, he was looking to take off, maybe get to the second read. Right now, he's standing in that pocket, and he's getting to the second, third, and in some cases, fourth read. If you start getting to that fourth read, that's when you start going from pretty good to pretty damn good. And that's kind of where we're at in this particular maturation process with Kenny Pickett.
He's got five games left this season, assuming he can stay healthy through all of them, Charlie. And they kept him upright for the most part in that game. No sacks for the Falcons. How much can we realistically expect people, you know, kind of waiting with bated breath every game, his development to see Kenny Pickett? How different could he look five games from now versus what we saw on Sunday?
Well, I think this is going to be interesting how it plays out, because if he continues this trend of not turning the ball over, his offense is kind of getting to that 20-point average and the running game going in the manner that it is, hypothetically, I'm saying this right now, if he goes the next five games and doesn't turn the football over, it makes a strong case for offensive coordinator Matt Canada to be here in 2023. I know that's not what everybody wants to hear, but this is what we're looking at this point. And the reason why I say that is because you don't want to start over with a new offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. It allows him to build on everything he's done over the last 9 weeks, assuming that this is the end of the season, and building on that in 2023 with the same offense that he's in.
To be fair, Charlie, up until the last few weeks, just from watching you on KDK, I mean, you're not going to slam the guy, but you had some reasonable questions about Canada's offensive play calling, I thought.
Fair questions. Absolutely. I was just like everybody else. And I'm like, okay, what are we doing on the offensive side of the ball? So when you get to that point, and now it seems like that offensive line is starting to gel, and now he's starting to call the offense in the manner that he would have hoped that it was going to be like. Hey, all I could do is call a spade a spade. He's progressing. The offense is getting better.
And you love playing spades. This is coming full circle here, Charlie. Look at this interview.
Coming full circle. And the one thing that I didn't like and that I still don't like in this offense is the jet sweeps. And that was something that I criticized from the time that he took over. Outside of that, where he is at this particular moment on where we are, all I can say is once we get to 500, we can evaluate this. And, then, of course, the conversation is going to change. But all I'm saying is, Matt Canada's job is prevalent on how Kenny Pickett performs. If it goes downhill, then the question is going to be, yeah, we're going to get rid of Matt Canada. But also the flip side of that is going to say, well, is Kenny Pickett really the guy if we have a top pick? But now, if he continues to play well, now it increases Matt Canada's chances of being here. All I'm saying is they are both tied hand in hand, quarterback and offensive coordinator.
Charlie, let me bring it full circle one more time. If you were Matt Canada, would your first offensive play in your little script for the Ravens game be a George Pickens touch?
You better believe I will. He will be up on the high up on the play chart as it relates to the top 10 that you're looking for the night before, and is ultimately going to depend on coverage and whether Kenny Pickett changes and gets out of that particular pass play and now runs it. But I would say the same manner a couple weeks ago, they got Deontay Johnson involved three of the first five plays. That could potentially what you see against with George Pickens.
Batch of toys. You can go to the website to continue to get involved with one of the best charities in Western Pennsylvania. It's batchfoundation.org, and very easy once you're there to find out how you donate and get involved in families' lives and making their Christmas and holiday season that much better. Charlie, you're one of the best. You're an all-pro off the field. How about that? You like that? You're an all-pro in life. And thank you for making a difference in Pittsburgh, Charlie, and coming on with us today. We loved it.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, and I like that all-pro because I don't want to be known as that person that used to play football. It's about what we're doing in the past and the future, and I think this is something that, you know, with our Best of the Batch Foundation, we currently serve 3,800 kids annually. That number will now go to close to 6,000 kids annually in nine counties. So we just appreciate everybody's support and belief in what we're doing at the Best of the Batch Foundation. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're the man, Charlie. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Charlie.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.